Are we okay to go, Steve?
Ready.
Alright. I feel like I don't even need this because I have a good teacher voice, but this is being recorded, so we'll go for it. It's so great to be together here with you. It's a real privilege, actually. I feel a bit like a prima donna because I've been trying to get along to one of these, but they've always seemed to fall on a Easter Saturday or a June long weekend or the start of the school holidays, and so best way for me to get here was to speak, but I don't want that to send the wrong message. So I've been told that I can go for as long as I want, but you guys are going to leave in about 20 minutes. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, good morning, men. It is so great to be here with you, and what an encouragement already to be able to sit down and have a meal together. I'm getting used to these beautiful Cooma mornings. It's taking some adjusting, but it's such a great thing to be part of this community and to meet some of the blokes in town who love Jesus, and what a great blessing to get people from different churches together. And I think there's people from maybe four or possibly more different churches here already in this room, and that's just a wonderful thing. Now this morning, in about 20 minutes, so don't worry, I don't intend to go on too long, I want to unpack two things. So feel like that's not bad. Two things means I'm not trying to achieve too much, so you might actually walk away and hopefully be encouraged and remember a few things. So what I'm going to do this morning is I want to tell you a little bit about my story, because I think stories are really powerful, and it's a great way to get to know people, who they are, where they're from, and what's important to them. So I'm going to tell you a bit about my story and how I landed here in the Snowy Mountains and why I do what I do. And then secondly, I want to unpack a question that was asked of me, and I'll say by a younger brother, that's a very much a relative term, but a younger guy who came to stay with me. He asked me a really good question. I thought it was such a good question, I thought I'd unpack it with you guys today. So let's start with a little bit of storytelling and the story of where I've been and what got me to here. Now, the invitation you received today introduced me as a self-proclaimed Christian education missionary, which was a throwaway line in a conversation I had with Steve. But I do believe that I want to unpack what I mean by that. But I'll get to that shortly. So I was raised on the northern beaches of Sydney. My dad was in the newspaper business. He left home in Dungog, where he was raised. For cricket fans in the room, Dave Leroy knows this. My dad is cousins with Doug Walters. He left home in the Hunter Valley at the age of 16 to work for Kerry Packer and spent his life working in the newspaper business. My mum was a maths and physics teacher. In fact, my mum, my two aunties, my sister, they are all were teachers. And so maybe I was always destined, even though I kind of rebelled against the idea of becoming a teacher. Maybe I was always going to end up there. So I grew up in a place called Terry Hills, which you may remember is the home of Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. And I attended a Christian parent-controlled school throughout my schooling, all 13 years. And it was started by some very faithful Dutch migrants who arrived in Australia after the Second World War. The school had a strong emphasis on the Bible and living out one's faith in everything that the school undertook. My mum was my maths teacher when I was in year 7, and my dad was on the board. And in the early days of Christian schooling, I feel like every second Saturday I was up at the school painting or mowing lawns. That was the life of a staff kid in a Christian school. Now, a pivotal time in my childhood was when I was in year 9 and my mum was sadly diagnosed with breast cancer for the second time. She deteriorated throughout the year and went home to be with the Lord on Father's Day in 1990. I remember at that stage being really angry at God and wondering why such a loving God would cut a faithful life so short. I was a teenager who was confused and angry at God. And then I remember the following year I went along to a local youth event at a church. I was probably more interested in meeting girls than listening to anything about God, but I went along. And the gospel that night was presented really, really clearly in a way that probably I'd never heard before. The speaker on the night suggested that being saved was not about knowing things about God and the Bible, but about having a relationship with God and trusting in his death and the resurrection of Jesus, the only way to be saved. Now, I remember thinking at the time that I'd assumed that I was okay with God, but in reality, I was relying on the faith of my parents in regard to how I was living my life and hadn't owned it for myself. So fast forward a bit, finished school. I was involved in serving at church, scripture teaching. I went to beach mission every Christmas up on the north coast of New South Wales at a place called Evans Head. Completed a science degree with an honours year in agricultural chemistry and soil science, which involved me spending my fourth year at uni fishing, scientifically, by the way, taking fish, water and soil samples out of all the lagoons along the northern beaches of Sydney and then analysing to see how many of the pesticides that were sprayed during the Second World War were still in evidence. And so I was, at the end of that year, I was offered the opportunity to commence a PhD, but it wasn't the path that I feel like God was taking me on. In fact, God made it clear that I should head into teaching, and I wanted to make my life count for God in sharing the gospel and my passion for working with young people along the way. So I finished my teaching degree and I headed into my first job. My first job was literally over Brown Mountain to a little school that was called Bega Valley Christian College and now called Sapphire Coast Anglican College. A quick pause, to tell you a bit about my family. So Heidi and I have been married for just over 27 years. We have three adult daughters. Emily is 25, she's married to Charlie. Grace is married to Sam and she's 21. And Amy graduated year 12 last year. I have one daughter in childcare, one a teacher and one who wants to be a midwife and is about to start her studies there. Heidi, who's down here with me, so we left our kids at home on the Central Coast. Heidi's had a career in childcare, although these days she would much rather renovate homes. And she has spent the last 6 months having a great time renovating our heritage home on Lambie Street. And it's most certainly an area of passion for her. And she's had lots of great conversations as people walk past and she invites them in for a look around. Now, career-wise, I've worked at a few different schools in Sydney, including a really long stint at the school I went to as a student, before moving to St Philip's Christian College in Gosford for the past 7 years. Now, at the end of last year, and I know I have a board member and some parents from the school that I work at, but at the end of last year, Snow Mountains Christian School reached out to St Philip's and asked if they might consider acquiring the school, partnering up. And it was, as you might appreciate with all the changes to the law and HR and all sorts of things, it's really hard to run a small school. Really, really hard. I've got Sean's here as well, and Sean knows how hard it is to run even a larger school. But being part of a network of schools certainly has its advantages. And so, Snowy Mountains Christian School, which has served the Snowman area faithfully for almost 30 years, it was becoming too difficult, and so St Philip's got involved, and then Heidi and I received a phone call from someone in the central office asking if we might pray about whether God was leading us to come down here. Now, we prayed about it, came for an incognito visit, and absolutely believe that this is where God wants us to be, and this is where we should go. And it's good to be here. Has it been easy? No. There have been lots of challenges along the way. There'd be lots of challenges in turning a business or a school around or whatever it is, or an organisation. There are challenges there, but on a personal level, we have felt somewhat torn this year in being so far away from our children. It's not because, I mean, our married girls, they're married and my two daughters belong to someone else, and I gave them away, but our youngest daughter, Amy, has had a series of health issues this year, and that's been a really tricky thing. Being 5 or so hours away from our kids is really hard. There have been a number of things for us to work through, and feeling like, what's God teaching us in all of that? And I do believe that God is making our faith stronger through the things that we're going through, and he's teaching us so much about how we need to rely on him. So it hasn't been easy, but would I do it again? Absolutely. Living in a season of change is where I feel I am, and it's really good for me. I'm finding great purpose in what I'm doing, and while hard, it's a reminder that this is God's mission for my wife and I at this time. And our responsibility is to use what God has given us to serve him faithfully. And I feel like I'm growing in my faith in a way that I probably haven't in the last 5 years. Yeah, not at me if you agree, but sometimes it's those things that you go through that where you go, I have to really trust in God because it's not easy right now. He's doing something. Now, I suggest that I feel like a Christian education missionary in the teaser for this event. Now, many years ago, I was wrestling with God with what I might want to do with life, or what God might want to do with me. And I pondered about whether I should head into full-time church pastoral ministry or continue as I was, as a math teacher in a Christian school. Now, I remember at the time making a mathematical argument, as I might have, around this, and having kids for 5 days a week at school, where anyone who's led youth group, I reckon you have slightly more control in the classroom than you possibly do as a youth group leader, but having that time with them, as opposed to maybe having them on a Friday night and a Sunday, was a pretty good argument, and I felt like that was what I should keep doing. Now, additionally, I love working with young people and teaching maths, especially within the privileged position of working in a Christian school where we can explore God's word and world with them. We can unfold the world around us and help them define their plans and what God might want for them in community. And I feel like, I felt at the time, and I feel like I still am making a difference. And so, Christian education missionary, well, there was an opportunity down here, there was a need there, and we answered the call, and I'm so grateful. So, the idea of being a missionary is in a sense, some people feel called to a certain job, some people feel called to go and maybe move to Kenya and run an orphanage. I feel like there's lots of things God has not made me able to do, but what he has given me the passion for is teaching and leading in schools. And so it's a great privilege to be here. And so that's why I'm here. And I hope that's of some encouragement to pursue the things that God might have for you. That's part one. Now, part two, I want to give you something practical to take away around a question that I was asked, and I want to explore this with you blokes this morning. So we have some visitors down to Cooma in July, and there's a family, and the dad of the family, Dan, he and I went for a walk around town in the morning. He's a brother in Christ. He's a young guy, because that's a relative term as well. So he's in his mid-30s with two kids, and he asked me if I had any advice for him as someone younger than him, someone who wanted to please God in leading his family well. Good question. Let's give you kind of 20 seconds just to think. How would you have responded to that? Someone who earnestly wants your advice. And I feel like I'm making an assumption. There's a good number of blokes in the room who are older than me, and there's a reasonable number who are younger than me. And so we're all on a bit of a journey. But when someone comes to you and says, so what would you suggest I do at this point in my life? And for those of you, I know there's a few people here with young kids in the room, you feel like it's so busy. I'm an empty nester, which is only because I moved away from my kids. But in that sense, you never stop worrying about your kids, but I'm at a different stage in life. I'm not doing everyone's lunches and hair and uniforms before heading to school. I get up and I have time now. But thinking, how would you have answered that question? Here's my attempt. So I said to Dan on that walk, that understanding my identity and encouraging him to do the same is a really important thing. And getting my priorities right and in the right order is a key to getting the balance right, and that's something that I am continuing to work on, but it is working well for me. So I want to unpack these four things, and I'm going to suggest that these are the four things in this order, and this is how I answered him. That you're a child of God. That, and this won't apply to everyone in the room, but you're a child of God, you're a husband, that you're a dad, and you are working, you are a provider for your family. Now, as I briefly unpack these four areas, I realise that some of you may not be able to claim all of those four things at this stage in your life, and there may be some associated pain around them. I want to say, pray God's love and comfort on you, and how we're, and encourage you to use the season that you're in to use your time really well. And so, if you're not able to say, yes, I'm a child of God, we're so glad you're here. If you're wrestling with these things, talk to the person who invited you. There's a lot of people here who'd love to talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Be blessed in that. And if you're here because you're, it was a good brekkie, but I hope you're here because you're exploring Christianity, what a wonderful thing. And so have a conversation around that. If you're not married or no longer married, whether you've lost your wife or things didn't work out as you'd hoped, be encouraged by God's comfort and peace, and may you be released from your pain. If you're not in a good place with your children, or perhaps you weren't able to have children of your own, my thoughts and prayers are with you. And if you're not working or not happy in the job that you head to at present, I hope that this will be an encouragement to you as well. And for those who are retired, I hope this will encourage you in how you use your time really, really well. And I know that I'm not the only person who's used this phrase, but I was chatting with a principal from St. Philip's who recently retired from the Newcastle School, and I said, are you enjoying, you know, the idea of retiring? She said, I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. And I think that's a really good way to think about it. I'm going to pick on Stephen just for a minute, because I had a good chat with him over a cuppa recently, and he told me about some of the things that he is doing. And I said, you are finishing well. We don't know how long finishing is, but what a great thing to be using your time really, really well, and saying, I don't know how much time I have, but God, use me. Anyway, so I want to unpack those four things super quickly. So child of God, I put that first, and here's a little encouragement. For those of us who know Jesus, we are in a relationship with him. So how are you growing in your relationship with God? For me, my routine is I get up at 6 o'clock to spend time listening to the Bible, to podcasts, to sermons or Christian music, and I like to do it while I'm on my feet out walking. I walk with my personal trainer, Jessie, every morning. Now, Jessie is a 14-year-old Maltese dog. She's getting a little bit on in age, so I don't have to walk too fast. But I love having that reason and something that gets me up in the morning and says I have to go out and walk the dog, but also gives me that time to spend with the Lord. It helps me because I get myself together for the day. I think about what I need to do. I think about the relationships that I'm working on, both in a work and a friendship context. I pray for my family, and I can get up and just head out too busy if I don't plan that time. So I have that hour with God every morning, and I absolutely love it. And I'm wondering, what are your daily routines? What are you doing? How does it help you to get your head around what you need to do? There's an encouragement there. Are you going well in that, or do you need to maybe head away and think, what am I going to do? I want to do something a little bit different. Number two, for those of us who are husbands. It took me a very long time to learn, and I have a very gracious wife in this regard, that I need to be a man of my word. I know that when my kids were little, if I said to my wife that I would be home at 5:15, my wife would be ready and waiting, looking out the window at about 5:10. Because I said I was going to be home at 5:15. Can anyone resonate? I usually found it a more helpful thing to say 5:30 and then surprise her by getting home at 5 o'clock. That was very useful to me. But I've also learned that, you know, that my job involves, in the workplace, fixing a lot of things and making relationships work. And sometimes, well, not actually sometimes, often, my wife just wants me to listen. She's not asking me to step in and come up with a solution, as my job often asks me to do. She just wants me to listen and really listen. So when I say listen, I have learnt that I need to put my phone down or close my MacBook and give my full body attention to my wife when she needs to talk to me about something important. And a few other things for us married blokes: never stop chasing your wife. Be honest with her. If something strange ever happens, for me, if she has access to my phone, she can ask me anything, and I feel like that's always is and always is a healthy thing. Even if, guys, that's a situation where something strange happens with say a female in the workplace or something, I found it very helpful to go home and tell my wife something. This has happened, and I just need you to know so that we can work anything through together. And for me, I'm very careful around my relationships with women for that reason as well. Don't spend time with other women in the car or in meetings or on our own unless I have to. And if I start to enjoy the company of another female, I make sure that my wife knows about my intention to honour her in all things, and I steer clear. Number three, children. If you're fortunate enough to have children, consider how you raise them. I have three daughters, and I now have two sons-in-law, and possibly another one not too far away from what I'm observing. Now, your kids are only going to be under 18 for a very short period in your life. Treasure that time as much as it's like a crazy roller coaster, and hold on to dear life like a roller coaster. I found this quote a few years ago that I shared when my dad turned 60. It was a Mark Twain quote. He said, "When I was 14, a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." Yep. I think you get the point.
Yep.
You will clash with your children. That will happen. A wise friend said, raising teenagers, it keeps you on your, not toes, knees. Need God's help in that. You will clash with your children, but the example you set and the relationship you grow will hold you in good stead into the future. In fact, I think it's that model you set in the first 18 years that will bring them back as adults to chat to you later on. And if anything happens, my dad's the first person I call, and we have a very close relationship. Just a little note on the wife and children thing, especially for those of you who want young kids. I believe that your children are supposed to grow up and leave you. So don't make your marriage relationship all about your kids. You need to focus on them, but not at the expense of growing your own relationship with your wife. And I know too many Christian friends who are around my age who've lost their way in this regard, and when their children grew up, they were looking at each other and searching for a reason why they should stay together. I believe your kids will actually feel safer if they are not made the centre of the universe. As Pastor Mark Driscoll said in a sermon I heard once, "I like to spoil my kids, but I don't like them to act spoiled." My advice is to help them remember where they belong and to keep prioritising, hence the wife thing above the children thing. And finally, work. Work is necessary and it's important. If you love what you get paid to do, you are in the happy minority. And it can take over our lives, can't it? And sometimes it kind of needs to. There will be different times when your work, the demands of work, they're just going to take over. And I will sometimes say to my wife on a Sunday night, "This week is going to be really hard, but let's look forward to doing something fun next weekend." but I've got this, this and this. So some things there are things that you just can't avoid. But I put this at number four, behind the first three things, because I think it can be easy to take on more work. Possibly it's to earn more money. If I do a bit more work, a bit more money. Or even to see hours spent at work as some sort of badge of honour. Guilty. I think it is more important to show up as a husband and a dad and for them to see you as their champion than for you to be seen as a champion by your colleagues at work. Pray that God will grant you opportunities to live out your faith with your colleagues. If you're a boss, lead with compassion and integrity. Be good looking. Make the gospel look good at work. But get home for dinner as often as you can and show up with energy to help out at home. I'm fortunate that these days I get to drive 3 minutes to work, but for a long time I drove from the Central Coast to Sydney every day. And as I pulled off the freeway, I'd say a very simple prayer to God. God, I don't feel like it after a long day at work, but help me to be a really good husband and father when I walk in that door. So men, be blessed. God wants us to lead our families with courage and conviction. And I might just finish with Hebrews 10:19-25 as an encouragement to you to keep all of this going. You've got a lot of plates that you're spinning right now. Being God's man in this life is tough, and we need our brothers to help spur us on. So I'm so glad you are here. Keep that accountability loop going as you do it. Let me read this as we finish. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen?
Amen.
Can I pray for us? God, you are good, and it is a privilege to be your child. God, you have shown us the perfect model of love and leadership in Jesus. And God, I pray that you will help us to love and lead in the places you have placed us, that we might be men after your heart, and that we might be a blessing to those we meet, so that we can invite people into a relationship with you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Very good.